from the Word of God to you. And we live before you and live among you, even though it was a short period of time. You observed us, and you believed in the Word that we shared with you. And so you became followers of us, and not only of us, but you became followers of the Lord. And I don't know anything tonight. I don't know whether you do or not. Any better. I hope you don't. Any better than following the Lord. Because that's the best thing coming. And the best thing going. Is following the Lord. So Paul says, you became imitators of us. So we talked about that we too need to live our lives in such a way as we imitate Christ, as I said, that people will become followers of us and of the Lord. Yes, indeed, we need to follow the Lord. So
we'll have that example before them. So we need to focus on being that good role model. I need to emphasize that again, because I said that anybody can be a role model. You know, the definition of the role model doesn't really specify being good. It just gives you the general definition of what role model means. Someone that you admire. Well, a lot of folks admire these people who talk all kinds of way, live all kinds of way. That's a role model to them. But that's not the type of role model that God wants us to be. He wants us to be a good role model. So we need to be good imitators of the Lord and good imitators of his word. And we also talked about what Paul said about them, how they received the word of God. They had a great attitude in receiving the word of God. They received the word of God first. It was amidst, in spite of the persecution and the affliction that they were surrounded with. They didn't let that stop them from receiving the word of God. Even though they were being persecuted, but they still believed and they still held on to the word of God. That must be our attitude, that we need to receive the word of God, even if we're persecuted for it. And they had much joy in doing so. Tonight I want to continue and talk about a couple of other things, at least a couple of other things, maybe three, as we see in these scriptures here, that made these Christians great role models. And I believe the same thing in our lives tonight will make us good role models to those that observe us. When we continue to look at these scriptures, we will see something else that is said about them. When we go down, drop down to verses 7 and 8, let's look at that for just a little while. The Bible says there, so that ye were examples, or examples, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God, what, is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Another thing that stands out about these Christians is that they were evangelistic minded. They were evangelistic minded. So much so until we ought to imitate them in being evangelistic minded. But let's talk a little bit about them being evangelistic minded. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. That tells me that they proclaim the word. They proclaim the word. They sounded out the word. They did not just limit their examples to being examples. Of course, we are to be an example. But we are to be an example both in word and in deed. You see, we just can't be an example by itself in you know, just action. Because there are a lot of folks out there that have some good actions. And their action will fool you and make you think that they are true followers of the Lord. Are we the only people that do good? No, we're not the only people that do good. Are we the only people that treat everybody right? We're not the only people that do that. A lot of folks do that. A lot of folks do morally good things. They need to hear a word from the Lord that causes us to do what we do, to act the way we act, to talk the way we talk, to walk the way we walk. So they need a word from the Lord. In Old Testament time, the question was asked, is there any word from the Lord? And the answer came back, yes, there is. We need to share a word with people as well as let them see us living out the word in our lives. So these Christians, the Bible says, sounded out the word. They became examples, yes, but they sounded out the word. We need to be a people that will sound out the word. They did not keep quiet about their faith. You know what was said about the early Christians in Acts chapter 8? Just after Stephen was persecuted and killed, who was the first recorded Christian martyr in the scriptures. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 that persecution came upon the church, and all the disciples were driven out of Jerusalem except the apostles. But notice what it says about this, about them in verse number 8. I'm reading verse number 4. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4. Notice what it says. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad. Who was it that was scattered abroad? All the disciples, all the followers of Christ were driven out of Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad. And the Bible says they went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Oh, yes, they were living it, yes. But they went preaching the word. The word preach means to proclaim, to herald, to sound out. They went everywhere preaching the word. So we preach the word, yes, through our lives, but we must also preach the word with the word. Again, there are a lot of good folks there out there in the world. So they could deceive us into thinking that they are true followers of Christ. They need to hear what we believe as well as see what we believe. Just seeing it alone is not enough. Jesus never said, just live the gospel. We must live it, yes. But he says, preach it, teach it. And we do that by word and by living it or by deed. So these Christians were great role models in not just living the gospel in action or in their lives, but they sounded it out. The Bible says they sounded it out. Not only, he says, in Macedonia. The church of Thessalonica was in Macedonia. Achaia was their next door neighbor. So they sounded it out in Macedonia where they lived. And then they went into the areas of Achaia next door and sounded it out there. And then it says, but also in every place, your face to God, what? Is spread abroad. So they didn't keep quiet about their faith. And as I've just said, they did just not limit it. Their efforts to their present locality. But they did just what the Lord said. Even when he was given the commission to go and to preach, he says to all the world, but more specifically, he said in Acts chapter 8, or chapter 1, rather, and verse number 8. Flip that up there if you can, if you will. Notice what he says. Here's Jesus talking to his apostles. And he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses unto me, shall be, rather, witnesses unto me both in where? Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the what? Uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus says, preach it in Jerusalem. Preach it in Judea. Preach it in Samaria. And preach it into the uttermost part of the world. In other words, don't just be concerned about your locality, the local place where you are, but carry it on wherever you have the opportunity. See, he virtually says the same thing in Luke chapter 24, in verse number 46 and 47, as he is now in the company of those two men that were going to Emmaus, and he makes this statement here. He says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? In Jerusalem. Begin in your locality, but just don't stop there. Preach it in Jerusalem, beginning in Jerusalem. And then he goes on and say, take it on to the other parts of the world. So what does that say to us? We're concerned about sharing the gospel right here in Huntsville. But as much as we have the opportunity, wherever we are, keep sharing the gospel, teaching the gospel, living the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, as these Christians did, not only in Macedonia, but in Achaia, and even in other parts that they went. What a great role model. This was an indication of their faith. It's one thing to say we believe, but it's another thing to demonstrate that we believe. This was an indication of their faith. And Paul, even in the earlier verses of this chapter, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, even mentions the fact that he was thanking God for their work of faith. Notice he didn't say, for your faith. He thanked God for their faith also, I'm sure. But he didn't say, for your faith. He said, for your work of faith, what your faith is causing you and motivating you to do. And one thing that their faith was motivating them to do was to sound out the word, was to teach the word. What about our faith tonight? Is it motivating us to share the word? Or are we going to be quiet with our faith? Look at what he said, even in that prayer that he says, I give thanks, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 2 beginning. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. So not only the word itself was a part of them, but the word motivated them to do some work. And part of that work was to sound out the word. And this is what he's commending them down in the other verses that we've talked about. From you sounded out the word from Macedonia and Achaia and then into other parts of the region. Do we have that same evangelistic focus? I hope and trust we do. Because, well, again, without the word, nobody would know what they're to do to be saved. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 12 through 14. And this is a good passage to go to when people talk about calling on the name of the Lord, not understanding what it really means to call on the name of the Lord. He says this, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that do what? Call upon him. And then verse number 13 says this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what does that calling upon the name of the Lord entail? When you go on, the Bible says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they shall have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That tells me some teaching of the word got to be done. Otherwise, that would have never been there. If all a person had to do was just live it. Is living it important? Yes, indeed it is. But we've got to teach the word. So again, they can combine the teaching with the living, and they get the full picture. So he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher or a teacher? Somebody got to speak the word. And that's what these Thessalonian Christians were doing. They were speaking the word. They were sounding out the word. We need to have a real evangelistic focus in sounding out the word. We must be serious about souls. Because Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Brothers and sisters, tonight, we need to realize that the world stands in jeopardy of being damned without obeying the gospel. So we need to teach them by word and by deed or by action. Because terror awaits those who don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to have a real evangelistic focus. Something else about these Christians that is a good role model. Verse number 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Bible says this, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. They turn from idols to serve the true and living God. That's a good role model. That's a good role model. To see somebody turn from idols and serve the true and the living God. The word turn suggests conversion. They began a new walk of life, as Romans 6 and verse number 4 would describe. But I say to us tonight, one will never be able to serve the true and the living God unless they turn from idols. Now, of course, idols in this particular passage has to do with those statues and things that they were bowing down to. But you and I know that it doesn't have to be a statue to be an idol. Anything that we place before God, give more importance to than God, will become our idol. And we'll never serve God, the true and the living God, acceptably if we can't get things out of the way that takes its place. And folks need to see us talking about seeing how we live. This is a good demonstration that we can show the world how we don't allow things to stop us from being faithful to God. So many people in the world will allow things and stuff and all other kind of things stop them from serving and following the true and the living God because they put their trust in the things that they have. There is no better picture to show the world than to show them how we don't allow things to become our God. Because we recognize that things are just things. And they have no eternal value. We are thankful for things that God blesses us with and using them properly. We're thankful for those things, but we do not put our trust in these things. Because they can be here and gone just like that. So many people are wrapped up in things. And so when things are gone, they may attempt and sort of pretend that they are trusting God. But if they are really wrapped up in things, when the things are gone, then they want to know, God, what did you do? Why did you do this to me? We need to realize that God just allows us to have things. But things should never define us. These people turn from idols to serve the true and the living God. And folks saw that. That's why, again, Paul says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how you turn. In other words, Paul was saying, I've got the message on you that you have turned from idols and now you're serving the true and the living God. What a great role model that could be. If people could look at us and say, I remember when. You wouldn't dare forego some good pleasure thing or whatever to sit down and have a Bible class with somebody or to put off some glorious trip that you had planned and miss worship on the Lord's Day. I can remember when you would never put off that. But now I can see that every Lord's Day, I don't care what's on the calendar, you're going to clear it. Because you know you got an appointment with the Lord. When people can see that, that's a good role model. That's a good role model. And we need to, again, show people how we have turned from idols to serve the true and the living God. No wonder Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, and he's talking about money and material things in this particular passage, but he says, no man can serve to what? Two masters. No man can serve two masters. For either he will do what? Hate the one and do what? Love the other. He will do what? Hold the one or do what? Despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And these Thessalonian Christians evidently realized that. That if we want to serve God faithfully, we got to turn from these idols. And I say to us again tonight, we want God to be pleased with us. We got to turn from things, or turn from idols, and turn to Him. No wonder Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 says this, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which were above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your mind, your affection, your loyalty, set your mind, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. And until we can get that disposition straight in our minds, and I'm not condemning us saying we don't have it, but I'm saying until that is a part of us, we'll never be able to serve the true and the living God acceptably. We don't need to just serve God. We need to serve Him acceptably. A lot of folks serve God, but they don't serve Him acceptably. The only service that will count for eternity is acceptable service to God. And in order to do that, we got to turn from idols and turn to the true and the living God. What a great role model. What a great role model. Lastly, we look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They had a great expectation of Jesus' return. They were waiting for His return. Notice we started off talking about how they received the word in affliction, their suffering, and they were still going through suffering. The church in the first century, basically everywhere, was undergoing suffering and persecution because of their belief and because of their living out their faith. So they were going through this affliction. But were they crying out, Lord, come and take us out of it? No, they were patiently waiting for Christ's return. They knew eventually one day Christ was going to come back. And so no matter what it took, no matter how they were persecuted, they were going to wait. They were not going to give up on their faith. They were going to wait for Christ's return. So as I said this morning, you know, when trouble comes our way and when things happen in our lives and people say, how did you get through it? How did you take all of that? You say, I took it, I got through it because I knew God was on my side. And that's how these Christians were able to endure the sufferings and the trials that they were going through, because they were looking for something. They were waiting for Jesus. I remember what Job said. You remember what Job says. Job says, if a man die, shall he live again? Yet in all my appointed days, he says, I'm going to wait. I know I don't understand what's happening to me. My friends are accusing me. I know I hadn't done anything wrong, but I began to somehow wonder, have I, or really what God is doing to me. But no matter what is happening to me, he says, all my appointed days, I'm going to wait until my change comes. He believed that a change was going to come. And that's what we got to do, brothers and sisters. No matter how things come upon us and how dark the days may be, people ought to be able to look at us as a role model of enduring the things that come upon me. Why are we enduring? Because we're waiting for Christ. We're waiting for him to come. And that's a beautiful picture then to the world. And that's why, perhaps that's why God allows us to go through that, because he wants us to demonstrate to the world that he's a powerful God and that we have faith to believe that one day he's going to deliver us. So these Christians were waiting. In spite of the fact that they were suffering, they went on sharing their faith. They went on being examples, living out their faith. They went on waiting for Christ's return. All of us then ought to be like that. Paul said to the church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 21, he says, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior. Yes, I know we have an earthly citizenship, but this earth is not our home. We don't need to live like this is our home. We're just strangers. We're just passing through here. We got another home. And we need to patiently wait for it. It'll be here, but we got to patiently wait for it. And that's what these Christians were doing. So again, how did they get through their struggles and their persecution? They got through it because they were patiently waiting for Jesus. Yes, indeed. And while we're waiting, we got to be working and living out our faith. One day Christ is going to come back. But you know who he's coming back for? He's coming back for those who are looking for him. And this looking for him means that they're working, they're watching, they're praying, they're being faithful, looking for Christ. The Hebrew writer said it like this in Hebrews chapter 9, and verse number 28, he says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Christ is coming back. And we will be eternally saved. We're saved now, yes. But we'll be eternally saved when we are truly looking for him. Through our faith, through our living, through our obedience. When he comes, he'll be admired by all those who believe, all those who obey it. In the second letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonian Christians, he said this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 7. He says, to those of you who are troubled, rest with us. I don't know about you, but these are some comforting words to me. To those of you who are troubled, why were they troubled? By the very thing that we've been talking about tonight. They were going through persecution. It was causing them heartache. It was causing them pain, discomfort. To those of you who are troubled, he says, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in or with his mighty angels in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 said this, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. But look at verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. What is he doing? He's pointing all the way back to Acts chapter 17. When that church first started, when they believed the gospel, and when they obeyed the gospel, you believed it, he says. We brought you the gospel, and you believed it, and you've been living it out in your faith, and teaching it and sharing it with other people. And even though you're going through struggles and trials because your enemies don't like it because you are followers of Christ, he says, one day, you're going to be able to rest from that. You're going to be able to rest from that. And when he comes, you're going to admire. You're going to be glad to see him come. I say to us tonight, when we stand up on the trials of persecution, that's a great role model. And oftentimes we don't like to think of it as being a role model, but that's exactly what it is. It's a role model to other folks to say, if you can do it, maybe I can too. That'll go a long way in helping people to come to Christ. Thank God for this church at Thessalonica, who Paul said some wonderful things about, that we can take and add to our lives and be great role models. So as I close this evening, I want all of us to ask ourselves and to constantly ask ourselves each and every day, am I exemplifying a good role model? Because after all, that's what I'm called to be, a good role model. Let us then so live our lives that others who see us may know what we believe and also demonstrate our belief through our walk of faithfulness. And even though we may have to suffer for it, when we truly wait and look for the Lord, he'll be admired by us when he comes, because we would have done the same thing that these Thessalonian Christians had done, that they had believed his testimony in that day when they brought the gospel and they continued to live it out. What a great thing to be a role model, to show the world what Christ is all about. Are you glad you're a Christian? I'm glad I'm a Christian. Are you glad you can be used by God for this purpose? I'm glad I can be used by God for this purpose. Well, if we are indeed glad, let's don't disappoint God. Let's make God proud of us, because we have been great role models for his cause. If you're here then tonight, you have not obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to come. Come by hearing and believing, repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, and being buried in water for the remission of your sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. You come forth then to live out your faith, teaching it and living it, being a great role model, being faithful unto death. And Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. If you need to come, we beg you to come. If there's something amiss in your life, you need to turn from it and need to confess before us. Whatever your need is while we're standing, while we're singing.